Welcome to episode 1155 of the Geek News Central podcast. It's Thursday, October 20th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider or just paypal.me/geeknews. You can pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Hey, got a great lineup of content for you tonight. We're going to talk about where's the Mavic? Talk about that. Talk about the audacity of Tesla to tell owners what they can do or not do with their car. Talk about that. Samsung takedown. And we're going to talk about the WikiLeaks conspiracy along with a whole bunch of other tech. I want to give a warm welcome to all the listeners of the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. Thanks for checking the show out. Got a great show lined up for you tonight. And, you know, if you're brand new to the podcast, it's really easy to get connected with the show. And all you got to do is go over to geeknewscentral.com and check out all the great content on the website. And, of course, subscribe to the show while you're there. You just right on the right-hand column of the website, right there when the page loads. You can subscribe via iTunes, Android, via email. Yep, you can get the show via email. Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, or just use a standard podcatcher with a standard RSS feed. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just click the more subscribe options. I'll give you some instructions on how to get connected with the show. If you really want to get hooked up, we want you to scroll down a little bit further and sign up for the newsletter. You're going to find a link to that a little further down the page. The newsletter contains everything I'm going to talk about during the show. It's not a chit-chat newsletter. It's a one-way emailing that I send out after every episode. And there's no begs. There's no spamming. It's sent to you on immediately following the show. So definitely get connected with the podcast and get subscribed. And, of course, if you have comments on today's show, all of our listeners can email me here at geeknews@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter at geeknews. If you're part of our Slack channel, and I want to thank everyone that's joining the Slack channel. Thanks for being there. Send me a request, and I'll send you an invite. Just send me an email and say I want to be added to Slack, and I'll hook you up on that. Of course, you can follow me on Google+, on Facebook, just by searching for my name, Todd Cochran. You can watch the show on the Roku, on the Tech Podcast channel, on the Apple TV, listen on the Amazon Echo by telling Alexa to play the latest edition of this show's name. You can listen on Stitcher, you can watch or listen on blueberry.com. Of course, we don't want to forget our partner shows. No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff, Health Tech Weekly with Mr. Jamie Davis. We've got the Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, and he beat me to publishing today. So his show's out. It's fresh. And then we've got the Pro Gear site taken care of by the GNC Tomb and my brand new show that I've been doing called Podcast Legends. And the latest edition of that, which we published this past week, was an interview with Don and Drew from the Don and Drew Show, taking you way back in the Wayback Machine. So having a lot of fun with that particular show. Of course, we got money-saving offers at geeknewscentral.com/offers. Those are there for you to get connected and hook up with the show and save money on stuff that you buy every day, especially when you're on travel. Or just as a reminder, on Tuesday evening at 6:30, I will be in Columbus, Ohio for the Columbus Podcast Meetup. We've had a few of our listeners email and get the information on that. So definitely want you, if you're up in Cincinnati, you're in Dayton, if you're within striking distance of coming to the Columbus meetup, love to have you there. I'll be talking a little bit about a variety of topics, so make sure you come out next Tuesday to that. Of course, I'm going to be flying out tomorrow afternoon, headed to Michigan. I'm going to be there for just a few days, and then drive out Tuesday morning. But that's kind of what's going on here. I'm excited to go back and hang out at home for a little bit. But I think the thing that I've been watching the most, and I alluded to it at the beginning of the show, it's kind of tech-related, is a little bit about Julian Assange's lockout. We know now that the embassy has locked him out of Wi-Fi and trying to prevent him from being any more effective in disrupting the election. I think we have enough stuff going on here. He didn't have to do too much more to disrupt it any more than it has been. But the conspiracy is, and what is being run around the tech loops and also on the news a little bit, is that the lockout came from on high. And as many smoking guns as there are pointing back to all the stuff that they've been releasing, I would not be surprised if Secretary of State John Kerry or some other entity reached out to the embassy and said, take him down. In other words, take his internet access down. So I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on, do you think there was influence by the current administration, or do you think it was a third party? Do you think they did it on their own? You know, where do you think it originated? Love to hear your commentary on this, and definitely send that to me over here at geeknews@gmail.com. And I'd love to hear your conspiracy theory on it. Hey, just a reminder, the next two shows will be on the road shows. No video, only audio. I might, if the bandwidth is good enough, I might do a Mevo Facebook Live on maybe even Monday or Thursday. I don't know. So we'll just see how the bandwidth is and if it'll support it or not. But so, you know, if I am, it'll be in the Eastern time. So I don't know exactly when I'll be able to do the show time-wise, either night, Monday or Thursday, but definitely pay attention. It will be a it'll be Eastern Standard Time show. Probably right around the same exact time. But anyway, if you want to tune in, and those of you that are usually sleeping when I do this show, this is an opportunity for you to catch the show live and hang out with us. For those of you that are on Facebook and YouTube, I know we got some folks on YouTube tonight hanging out. Thanks for being here, and appreciate you staying up late and watching the show. All right, let me, I should have sent this. Let me send this now. All right, people didn't know I wasn't live. They will find out directly. All right, we're up on live stream YouTube and on Facebook tonight, all simultaneously streaming. Looks like everything's holding out so far, so that's good. All right, let me go ahead and bring up my stack of stuff that I have, and we're going to get into that here directly. So I've one thing I found and flying my drone is that humping that, I basically have a Pelican case, you know, a regular size Pelican case, about the half the size of a suitcase, and I'm getting all my extra batteries, everything in there, and it is literally a pain to move around. You have to, you know, take it to the car, you know, and it's a big evolution to get up and get set up. And when I heard DJI announced this Mavic Pro, got pretty excited about it because of its size. And I like the DJI product line. I'm used to flying DJI drones. So, you know, when I opted to pick one up, I was hoping it would be here because they said mid-October delivery. And that mid-October was like 5 days ago. I was like jazzed because I knew I was going to be able to take it with me home. And they say the range on it was such that I should be able to stay at my house and do the maneuvers I wanted to and fly over the areas I wanted to without having to get in the car and move down the road a half mile. So it's not here. It's still, and they're saying now, you know, I got an email from DJI a few days ago, and they said, oh, maybe now mid-November. Well, meanwhile, they got my money, you know, for the drone. And I don't have, you know, it's gone on here a little while, long enough that they should have already delivered it. So I don't know if they've got problems. If they announced it, you know, the speculation is that they announced this thing ahead of the GoPro drone or in and around the same time the GoPro drone to try to take some of the sales away from the folks at GoPro. So, you know, the product could stand on its own. If they weren't going to be ready until November 1st, they should have told us. Because I was fully planning on having this with me, you know, because you can basically put it in a backpack, you know, and it doesn't have to go in my you know, my checked luggage. It would be perfect. So that's not the case. I will not be taking a drone with me, but my sister did buy a DJI Phantom 4. So I'm probably going to try to get some flight time on that when I'm there. So you guys keep, you know, just be, you know, be aware that I might be coming up on Facebook and doing some flights with her drone. So she's using it for, she sells a seed for corn and soybeans and stuff. So she's been using it for checking on her farmers that she sells to and looking at their crops. And so she's been using it for really a business purpose. But I'm going to go and hopefully have a little fun with it. Pleasure. But where the heck is my DJI Mavic? I wish it was here, and it sadly is not. But there's a lot of people complaining about this whole situation as well. Hey, today Nintendo made a big announcement, and again, I'm not a gamer, so I'm not even going to try to talk in detail about this. You know, we knew something was coming from Nintendo. They had made an announcement some time ago, and speculation on what was going to be introduced. Well, today they talked about something they're calling the Switch. So it's a console that can go with you and also be used at home. So this is a 2-in-1. So you'll be able to grab it and play games while you're on the go, but get back to the house, put it up on the big screen. No price point yet. At least I didn't see it. But you know what's really jazz me about this is running on their it's actually running on a NVIDIA Tegra processor, and I've been talking about this particular processor for a long time. If you've been part of the show for a while, these GPU based processors do incredible things, an incredible amount of processing, whereas you don't have to have such a big beefy central processing unit. These GPUs take over heavy load lifting and much of the stuff, the rendering, the graphics, and doing all the game stuff. So I'm excited to see what this product's how it's going to look and the performance on the market and everything else. So those of you that are gamers, you're probably going to be looking at picking up one of these up. But it's called Switch, again, Nintendo Switch. So they came out with the Wii, and now they've got the Switch. So, you know, there's been lots of chitter chatter on social media, them teasing about the name. But everyone says it looks pretty incredible. From what can be deduced from, you know, the PR stuff that's come out. All right, I want to talk just a little bit about the hacks. And there's been some analysis done on the Democratic National Committee's email hack. That has proven so devastating and give us quite this inside look, this inside baseball look of what the politicians really think and the little dirty tricks that they play by, you know, sending aggressive people into campaign rallies and all kinds of stuff. So the Register says in analysis of what they did, and basically these groups that are bragging about doing some of these exploits, that they actually used 6 zero-day vulnerabilities last year to do many of these hacks, which, you know, zero-day vulnerabilities are few and far between, and it takes a very highly sophisticated person to be able to, number one, get access to them, number two, maybe have been the person to detect them and actually execute the vulnerability, but also keep them under wraps where they weren't found out about. So there's a good article, again, this on the security researcher's topic on exactly what took place for all of this, John Podesta's and the DNC's basically emails being hacked. Some of it was social engineering. Some of it was password, weak passwords, you name it. But it just goes to show you that you can have the best security in the world, but if these organizations find a zero-day vulnerability, they're going to backdoor in, and there's not a lot you can do to stop it. So I would imagine that they are going to be sending their very most private emails between each other via carrier pigeon from here on out, or maybe thinking twice before putting something nasty in an email that if exposed later could get you fired or cause embarrassment. But anyway, the Register has the details on this. I'll have the link up in the show notes for you. Do you have a 32 gig iPhone 7? Well, some speed tests were done over Unbox Therapy, and it was a video transfer test. And I've been playing with this a little bit myself. And matter of fact, I'm very sad to announce that my iPhone 6 on the camera has a spot. And when I take a picture on it now, it's about the size of, in the image, maybe of a eraser head. It's just a little imperfection. And as you guys know, I've always had a case on my phone. So I'm looking at my phone and I'm looking at it, and it looks like that somehow I was able to just barely, you know, it's very hard to look at that camera glass and actually see it in perfection, but it looks like something may have just lightly nicked the outside lens, which may be causing the imperfection in the picture. But so, you know, I think, man, and I use that camera a lot to take a lot of pictures, a lot of videos. Is that little spot going to be that noticeable? Maybe, I don't know, but it's driving me a little bit crazy. So, I'm starting to look at the iPhone 7. And you guys already know I had a hell of a rant on iPhone 7 and not having the earphone plug. And I'm thinking through all the scenarios of what will happen if I make the jump. All the gear that I've set up for, you know, stabilized recording and everything else. And it just makes me go, do I switch to a Android device? The rest of my team bought the new Google phone. And I think I'm the only guy stuck on the iPhone still, or I'm still on iOS. So I'll probably stay with iOS. But at this point, I'm kind of dreading this transition. But going back to this article on the iPhone 7, if you have a 32 gig version, it takes longer to transfer video off it than one that's a 64 or 128. As an example, on the 256 gig iPhone, the transfer time was 2 minutes and 34 seconds versus 3 minutes and 39 seconds on a 32 gig phone. So that's pretty significant. So something's going on with those 32 gig phones is causing the video transfer, a media transfer, to be slower, between like the phone and the computer. So, something to keep in mind if you're getting ready to go out and buy an iPhone and you're thinking about getting a 32 gig version. Many of you probably saw the mock-up of the Grand Theft Auto 5 mod, where they were turning the Galaxy Note 7 into a weapon, and it basically the guys running down the street and throwing, you know, Galaxy Note 7s, and the, you know, cars were blowing up, and it was a good spoof. I had to applaud them. Well, Samsung didn't think it was so funny, and they issued a takedown on the video of Grand Theft Auto 5. I was like, wow, really? They really did that? So what you do is you remake it and you call the phone something else. Everyone's going to know what it is. But I can't believe that they actually got so pissed that they would take the video down due to a copyright claim. It's amazing. And it is a weird copyright takedown, because the phone really doesn't, you can't even tell it's a Galaxy Note 7. I think I would contest it and see what happened. But anyway, long story short, they issued a takedown on YouTube because their feelings were hurt. They got bent a little bit. Hey, Richard, thanks for Oh, the video was frozen on YouTube? Well, that's not a good sign. Let me see if we're still streaming on YouTube. That says the health is good. That's odd. Huh. We should be up and running, but thanks for the heads up, Richard. I do appreciate it. Man claims that an iPhone 7 did as a Samsung Galaxy Note 7 and burst into flames and destroyed his car. So, Australian surfing instructor Matt Jones, he left his week-old iPhone 7 under a pair of pants in his car while he went out to give a lesson. When he came back from surfing, he says the windows of his cars were completely black. When he opened his doors, he immediately felt a wave of heat as smoke escaped from the car. Jones said he bought the new iPhone 7 just 1 week ago and claims he has not dropped it or used any third-party chargers. While this is obviously no indication of any sort of widespread problem, similar incidents occur after phones suffer some kind of trauma. Now, here's another thing. Okay, so he's a surfer, right? There is a range, a heat range. Inside of vehicles can get pretty hot. So if he had put the phone on the seat and actually didn't cover it up, and actually had gotten direct sunlight on it, you get above 140 degrees. I think 143 is the spec. You get above 143 degrees. There can be bad things can happen to one of these lithium ion battery phones. So, we will see if there's any trend here that develops, but, that's, again, kind of scary, but yeah, I think direct heat, a direct sunlight on a phone, getting it too hot, could potentially cause an issue with these things. So, anyway, we'll see what happens, and we'll keep our ears peeled if there's any additional, basic people saying they've had problems. Now, one thing, by the way, my wife just finished, if I hadn't told you guys, if you may remember, she had started her training at Hawaiian Airlines some months ago. Got all the way through next, almost up to the last day of training, and had to fly to Japan because of her mother's health. She got back. It went on a number of months. They called her back for a second time to come back to go to class. And she made it through like the first day, and her mother passed away. So back to Japan she went for the funeral and all that. So typically Hawaiian Airlines, you have to drop out of class twice, you're done. They took, all the things into consideration. And she just finished yesterday her class. She's going to be starting training this Sunday. So she's actually going to be working the, Hawaiian has the contract to do gate staff for All Nippon Airways. So she's going to be working the ANA desk at Honolulu International as a customer service agent. So she's got about 4 or 5 days of OJT, 4 or 5 days of observation at the gate, and then 4 or 5 days of training before they cut her loose as a, full-time, and she's, they've hired her full-time. So she's going to be, she's going to get like 35 or 36 plus hours a week, I think, in the initial go-around. So it's nearly full-time. So it's actually a better position than what she was before. So I'm pretty excited about her, starting to kind of this second career, getting back in the travel space. And so I probably will be flying Hawaiian more now because, yes, indeed, take advantage of those family flight perks. but still, United will probably remain my primary carrier just because I've got so many miles with them. But anyway, maybe trips to Vegas and Japan and stuff like that will now be on Hawaiian, and we'll take advantage of the ability to, basically fly for sales tax. So pretty exciting stuff. Okay, over in Universe Today, If you may remember, Rosetta did its landing. They were able to track the Rosetta spacecraft all the way down to about the last minute. So they got some pretty good images. And but there is a pretty cool set of pictures. Anyway, it's at its final resting spot on the comet, 67P. And I think the mission has come to a close. Long story short, we don't have a spacecraft out on a comet anymore. Or it's actually not around a comet. We have one on a comet. link will be up in the show notes. A little more sad note, the NASA Juno mission, of course, we've had some trouble already. But on its last loop around Jupiter, it went into a safe mode. So they're freaking out big time over there. This is just one thing after another with the spacecraft. So NASA's going to be working this and see what happens in getting the spacecraft back online. But we'll keep you advised on what goes on there with that specific spacecraft. Also, scientists are, just absolutely puzzled by a mysterious X-ray blast that is off every chart from a magnitude standpoint than scientists have really ever seen. It basically was an extraordinary explosion. And I don't want to allow space.com to show. Don't you hate these sites now? They're asking to show notifications. But anyway, the astronomers are shaking their heads over two mysterious objects in space that are unlike anything scientists ever seen. The objects blast super bright, super fast X-ray flares could represent a brand new type of astrophysical phenomenon. When these weird X-ray sources flare up, they become 100 times brighter in less than a minute. About an hour after flare, the brightness returns back to normal. Scientists say they've never seen anything like this. Jimmy Irwin of the University of Alabama, who led the study, said in a statement, "Astronomers have seen many different objects that flare up, but these may be examples of an entirely new phenomenon." He says these particular flares are extraordinary. And he says for a brief period, one of the sources become one of the brightest, whatever ULX means, to ever be seen in the elliptical galaxy. And let me show you, those of you that are watching, let me scroll down, and it gives you an idea where in space it was. So you get an idea. Oh, actually, look, I got to show it to you first. It gives you an idea how big this particular explosion was. So something went out there and happened. They say after flare, most of these events only take a few seconds to return to baseline level, but this one was about an hour before it settled down. So are aliens out there fighting? Are they making stars go supernova? What's the story? So we'll see if they figure it out. But something went big boom out way, way, way out in space. We all are excited about the potential of being able to have super high-speed internet, and specifically, having maybe, a gigabit of traffic up and down. There was an article published by Vox lamenting how cities spent millions on fast gigabit networks and nobody is sure what they're good for. The central narrative of the article is that apparently that gigabit fiber aren't any good because nobody's developed a killer app that can effectively use all the bandwidth at once. And I have to agree with Tech Dirt's analysis here that Vox has missed the fact, and I'm going to quote from them directly, that gigabit broadband competition itself is the killer app. Google Fiber may only have a small footprint, but in markets where it is deployed, incumbent ISPs have been forced not to only dramatically improve their own network, but also offer these services at significantly lower price points, usually around $70 without the usage cap. So gigabit municipal broadband deployments often have the same impact that we've seen in locations like Wilson, North Carolina, Chattanooga, Tennessee. You know, in these muni broadbands are under huge attack. So gigabit speeds aren't necessary for people, for most people, but for me, that would be huge, huge, huge. Multiple family members using the internet, live shows like this, uploading video, media, all that is huge. It takes complete limitations off the internet. That's the key. I'm not expecting to have a 1 gigabit connection with a server somewhere. That's not the point. It's the point to be able to do a lot at the same time. And that's the value of gigabit Ethernet. I love folks that do DIY type of projects. I wish I had more time to do do-it-yourself projects. I just don't have, the time cycles to do it. Someone took a Raspberry Pi, and they built their own dashboard cam with live streaming capabilities. Now, I'm looking at this thing, and it's, of course, there's not a lot of detail here. But on PubNub, they took the same concept, but also have a live streaming capability providing set up a hotspot with your smartphone. So they give you the instructions on how to do it. It looks pretty big, and I'm sure it's much cheaper than my Mevo. But boy, my Mevo is a lot smaller and doesn't obstruct the window either. And I've also had little dash cams that really, in all honesty, are no bigger than my fist. So when you have something that's big, while it was cool to build, the practicality of it is not as well. Anyway, so I'll have the link up in the show notes on that, so you can check it out. Don't forget to email me here, geeknews@gmail.com, or drop me a tweet at geeknews. You can leave a comment on Facebook as well. I'll make sure I get that over to the show, into the show notes page. Definitely send your comments to it. The largest solar farm in the Midwest has been completed. North Branch, Minnesota. Work is complete on the largest single solar energy facility in the Midwest and one of the largest in the nation. The North Star Solar Project consists of more than 440,000 solar panels spanning 1,000 acres or 1.5 square miles in Chicasco County. It's expected to produce enough energy to power more than 20,000 homes. It comes with a price tag of $180 million. So if you can put solar in Minnesota and make it work, you can put solar anywhere. Remember, they don't get as many daylight hours in a winter as many places in the country do. So even here in Hawaii, it's been interesting. My son's, we don't change the clocks. We stay, year round. We're on the same, same time zone or same time period. Don't implement DST. But we do have enough of a shift that when my son started soccer at 6:30, it was still daylight. Now when he's done here at 6:30, it's almost dark. So actually today was the last practice. His last game is Saturday that I'm going to miss. But anyway, now it's on to basketball. That's next. I tell you, he loves his sports. Or LG V20, and I've talked about this specific phone quite a little bit. I've got an article on it on Geek News Central about a review. But, normally Apple loves to make little jabs at the competition. But the folks at LG had to press in and walking people through their facility. And they made the point that their LG V20 underwent 60,000 safety tests before mass production. And, they dropped it, they smashed it, they stepped on it, they squeezed it, they overheated it, they froze it, all those types of tests. So anyway, they were very proud to announce that they had done 60,000 tests on the LG V20. So I thought that in itself was a little bit of a inner country jabbing at one another back and forth, because Samsung is definitely on the ropes right now. All right, Verizon's Q3 revenue wireless business felt some heat. I wonder if T-Mobile hurt them a little bit. They had revenues of $217 million. A profit of $217 million. Estimates net for net worth $773,000. Verizon lost 36,000 phone customers in the quarter. Verizon reported quarter earnings of 89 cents and revenue of $30.9 billion. So, again, they had $217 million in profit. Pretty tight profit margin there. So, non-GAAP earnings for third quarter were $1.01. So they'll get beat up a little bit in the stock about this. All right, you know, how many of you here in Hawaii, it drives me a little crazy. We get our trash picked up once a week. That's it. And it used to be two. And they slowed down the number of, you know, pickups for whatever reason. So we have, here at my house, I have two green bins. I have a small blue bin and a regular trash bin. We don't, and then we break out, we have a paper bin. So the, sometimes a trash can get full by time it's Saturday. You know, it just does. Some guy made a tool. He made a trash stomping robot. So if any of you have ever had to go out to the trash can and, you know, kind of shove it down a little bit to get the last bit of load in before the, oh, what happened? Oh, no. I lost my screen. What happened? Oh, this is not good. I was going to show you the video. I moved the mouse and both screens went black. Oh, no, not good. I've never had this happen before on a show. We might be done, folks. What is going on? Without the screen, I cannot do the show because I cannot see the articles. Literally never have had this happen before. And what's weird is that here's the crazy part. Those of you watching, the monitor is still live. The computer capture is live. What happened? They both went. I wonder if the video card, my brand new video card, went out. That would suck horribly. Well, oh, I had about another 10 articles to go through tonight. Well, I guess I'm done. I have no idea what's going on. Absolutely no clue. Huh. All right. Well, this is a first, 1,155 episodes, and I lose the monitor. Nothing will surprise me beyond this. So, everyone, thanks for being here. Geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. I had emails to read tonight, too. So, I mean, like, the computer just flat both screens. That's not a good sign. I'll reboot the computer, but it just takes, like, too long to get the thing back online. But thank you so much for being here with me tonight. I definitely appreciate you tuning into the show. And we'll see you on the next go-round here. We'll be on the next road show of the Geekness Central podcast. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.